Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
No, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Nam. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from Noah to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints' blood on their hands.
Government attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The currents, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creator can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cut coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed to.
Yo, bro, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensei. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth a penny.
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I've made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'm going to show you mysteries.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome, everybody, out in Blog Talk Radio land to another fantastic episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. I'm one of your hosts this morning, the Brother Shalomai up here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm also joined by my fellow brothers who are out in San Antonio, Texas, enjoying part of the Feast of Tabernacles. The brother, go ahead and take your name, brother.
Zabarkawa.
And we're also joined by another brother who is also out in San Antonio. What's your name, brother?
I'm Mod. Shalom, everybody.
Yes, sir. And we are coming to you. Finally, back in new and improved with Blog Talk Radio. I know we've been off the air for a little bit, but we've been handling some things that we had to go through and get situated. But we can't forget about our people scattered throughout North Central and South America of Negro and Indian descent. We are coming back to you to once again give you the knowledge and understanding of the Heavenly Father and letting you know that you are the lost children of the tribe of Israel. Do you have anything to add out there, brothers?
Khan. You know, we're doing it in respect to Mashaba also, who is not doing the show with us, you know, right now. But, you know, he is always he's here in the spirit. And, you know, let me go ahead and add a scripture in that we always use, you know, because it's our job. This is our job. Our job is to gather our people together, as you were saying. So I want to put a scripture on top of that, you know.
Go right ahead, sir.
If you want to go ahead and, you know, break it down real quick as I read it. It's Zephaniah 2:1. Let me get it here real quick. Okay. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, gather yourselves together. Yeah, gather together, O nation not desired.
Yeah, now right here, the scripture is talking to us. It's talking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because throughout all the people of the world, who are the people that are the most overlooked, forgotten about, not cared about, and not desired? It is you, the children of Israel, the people of Negro and Indian descent scattered throughout North, Central, and South America. And we have this, and this is evident because when it comes to the living conditions of our people, the lack of concern for our well-being as far as like with prevalent things as the police shootings that happen at random to our people, from the brother who was in his own apartment in Dallas, Texas, and somehow a cop confused her apartment with his apartment, walked into his house and shot and killed him dead, and all she got was fired. It is proving that we are the nation that's not desired. For the standards that our people live in Mexico and South America, we are the people that are not desired, because there is no rush or no move by the powers that be, or the so-called government, to kind of help out and better our living conditions. We are the only people who are scattered and live in the main residents of the ghettos and slums throughout North, Central, and South America. If there's any hood in these places, who are the main people there? The people of Negro and Indian descent, the so-called blacks, Hispanics, the blacks, the so-called Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Dominicans, brother Jamaican, Haitians, and the Argentinians, people from Brazil, from Colombia, Trinidad and Tobago. We are the people, we are that nation that is not desired. Go ahead, I.
John, Zephaniah 2:2, it says, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff.
As us being those nations not desired, what is the decree, the order that is being put out by the Heavenly Father, is that we as a people are supposed to be coming back and gathering together now, because it's letting us know through these scriptures that there's only a little bit of time left. Understand? Should we be caught up in our 9-to-5 jobs? No. Should we be concerned about people, Kardashians, black medicine in Atlanta, you know, basketball-wise? No. We should be concerned with coming back as a people and unifying under the Most High and figuring out how to serve Him the way that He wants us to.
Are you there, Art?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. It says, before the day pass at the chat, before the fierce anger of the Most High come upon you,
Yeah, because we are in the end times. There's not a lot of time left with all these massive animal deaths, with all the wars and rumors of wars that are going on. Brother, we cannot be focused on anything but coming together like the Most High has told us to do, because it's an order for us to come together and get back in order with Him and learn to serve Him the right way.
God. And, you know, with that is what our job is. And I want to send a shout out to fellow brothers that do the same job. not only here in San Antonio and in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but also in Houston also. The ISBHBK at Houston, 8524 South Braidwood Boulevard, Houston, Texas, zip code is 77071, where they have classes Mondays, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Sabbath class, which is on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if you can't catch them on the YouTube, then you can catch them. Well, actually, to catch them on YouTube, website isbhpk.org. YouTube channels are ISBHPK Live Monday through Friday, Sundays 12 to 1 p.m. ISBHPK Kids. Then also, with any donations or you want to get some garments, you go on Facebook, Israel Wear, at the email isbhpk at isbhpk.org. And the do I get the Wells Fargo account out? Yeah.
Yes, sir. You could actually make a payment through the Wells Fargo account at 10158061 67. If you want to get some of the clothes that the sisters are making out there in Houston, Texas, from the Facebook account Israel Wear, you can actually purchase them through the Wells Fargo account at 10158061 67. And now the brothers and sisters in Houston also have you can make payments through Google Wallet as well at isbhpk@gmail.com. If you want to further help support and continue the expansion of these classes and further the growth of the camp.
Con. Also, with us being in San Antonio, let me send the shout out to our brothers here in San Antonio also at ISBHPK Sword of Truth. We are at 4219 Centergate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Our classes start Tuesday and go through Thursday from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. and Fridays 8 to 11 p.m. Sabbath class is also on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Austin Central Library, is that, are we still doing that?
Still doing Austin Central Library in Austin, Texas, which is the actual physical address of the library is 710 West Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard in Austin, Texas at 78207, and they are doing classes Saturdays from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. And if you want to, you could also call in and listen to.
Fade that.
You broke up, bro. Are you still there? Two, five. No, Shalom, I think we lost you.
And the online ID, if you're on the internet, you can also log in and listen to it, would be the number 1 Maccabees, M-A-C-C, A-B-E-S 3, and the word Maccabees is all capitalized letters. So you could actually, even if you can't call in and get on the conference call, because I think they have a limited amount of callers that can call in, you can actually go into their online ID and listen to the calls as well. And with that being said, we also have our classes out here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are the ISBHPK in Albuquerque, and we do Blog Talk Radio, and we have a phenomenal amount of classes also archived online. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, which is M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and you can actually go listen to our our archived online classes, or you could call in on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the times of 8:30 to 10:30 and listen to our live classes. And then on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30, we also have live classes. And for the Sabbath readings that we do every Saturday at the downtown library, we start class. It was normally at 10:30, but we stepped it up to be there at 10, and the classes will usually go until about 12:30, if not longer. And that's at 501 Copper Northwest, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87102. That's the downtown library at 501 Copper Northwest, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87102. And we are in conference room number 2.
Con.
And the scripture you went over this morning, the one thing that has been going on, precedenting finishing up the Day of Atonement, which was last week, is we are now in, if I'm not mistaken, the Feast of Tabernacles, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Did you and what goes on in the Feast of Tabernacles is one of the mandatory times, one of the three mandatory times throughout the year that Israel was ordered by the Most High to gather together.
Right.
And
let me, you want me to go ahead and get
go,
that?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Get that scripture? That scripture is in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. And, you know, which I'll read it, and if you want, to break it down, Amon?
I can do that.
You want to?
Sure.
All right. Starts at Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. And it says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Most High thy God in the place which he shall choose.
Okay, what this is talking about is...
Turn my... There's your 12.
It's not on.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Read that one more time.
Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose.
Okay, so the scriptures talk about every high holy day. We gather, we're required to gather wherever we're at. That's another scripture, but this scripture is specifically, it's talking about specifically three particular Sabbaths, three particular high holy days. In the year, everybody, particularly all the males, are supposed to gather of the entire nation in one place. There's a difference there. You could have another high holy day that's outside of these three particular ones we're going to mention here, but these three particular ones, everyone, no matter where you live, was supposed to gather in one place. That the Lord would choose. It's going to read, if you want to read down, it's going to further explain that.
Con, good. Deuteronomy chapter 16, and verse 16 in the middle. It says, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
We skipped the part. We didn't actually, you did read in the place which he shall choose.
Right.
Which he shall, in an appointed place, wherever the Spirit leads us to gather. This would be wherever you live, everybody, if you're physically able to, you're supposed to gather. And it's these three particular ones, and way more high holy days than these three particular ones that we're supposed to gather. So go ahead and we'll find out which three those are.
Right. Let me go ahead and start again at the top, from the top. Deuteronomy 16 and 16. It says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
So that's one. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, we know, begins with the Passover. And that's one. So let's see what the second one is.
It says, and in the Feast of Weeks.
The Feast of Weeks, he's talking about, is also referred to as Pentecost, or the last day of the first fruit, which is... first day of the first fruits is right after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But then we know according to Scripture, we count 50 days after that. And we call it Pentecost because the word Penta means 50. So it's 50, it's seven Sabbaths and then a day, which is 50 days. After that is the Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost. So that's the second one. Read on.
And in the Feast of Tabernacles.
In the Feast of Tabernacles, which Brother Shalomah mentioned earlier, is what we're in the middle of right now. We're actually in the fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacles right now as we speak. That's what we're going to be touching on today. But this is one of the three times in the year that the entire nation of Israel was supposed to gather, no matter where you live, all in one place, not just where you live and, you know, somebody else in a different city where they live, but we were all supposed to come together, particularly the men, as we read earlier in the scripture.
Right. It does start out with all thy males. Okay. I have to apologize for that. So for some reason,
technical difficulties. We're running the air every now and then to work that part. For some reason, we got cut off.
Yeah.
Power may be. They don't want to get this out. Don't want to get this out. You know, don't want this to get out. Rather. But we're going to keep it moving. If it happens again, we'll call back in. We'll do whatever we can to stay on.
Right.
So y'all bear with us.
Right, and with that slight pause there, we have another brother that just came in. Go ahead and say your name, bro.
Shalom, I'm Jalil.
All right, and he's going to be doing some reading. Shalomah.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we've established that there are three holy convocations or holy days where it is required for all the males to appear before the Most High. In the place where he chooses. One was in the Feast of Unleavened Bread and in the Feast of Weeks, which is also the Pentecost Holy Convocation, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, which we are currently in the middle of right now.
Yes, sir.
All right. And so I guess you're going on as, you know.
I was concurring with you, but we want to try to share with everybody who's out there in Block Talk Land what it really is involved in the Feast of Tabernacles if we didn't know, because like I said, we had just come out of the Day of Atonement, which is the only fast that the Heavenly Father truly requires of us, and in that day, or in the times up until that day, we are supposed to be working on our relationships with our fellow brothers, so that if there were any ill dealings or any grudges that were being held, we were supposed to be able to, by the time of the Day of Atonement, let those things go and actually go back and forgive the brother of the things that we could consider as wrongdoings. Because on that day, if we can deny our flesh for that one day, the Heavenly Father would come back, and now because we were able to fight those impulses for that day, he would come back and forgive us of our incidental sins. But it was also to show us that now if I can do this for one day, I should also be able to do this every day for the rest of my life. And now we're into the Feast of Tabernacles, which is why we are gathered together. So it's one thing to actually just say, I've forgiven a brother, but now we have to go into, since all the men of Israel were told to gather together, now I have to be around brothers that I might have had a falling out with, or I might not have gotten along with. So now the Most High is putting me to the test to see if I truly am about the will of the Father. And during this time, for this entire week, we dwelt together in tents. So when I went to sleep at night, who did I see? I could have seen that brother that I might have had a problem with. When I woke up in the next morning, who did I see? I saw that brother that might have rubbed me the wrong way, or we might have just disagreed on a certain point. But the true thing behind the holiday was, or the Feast of Tabernacles, was to make sure that now that we say we forgave in our hearts, we really put in that effort and that work to make things right with that brother now, because we get to see him on a daily basis. Because this is the decree that the Most High has put out for us.
Right.
And now there has actually been a lot of reading. If you go to, let me see where it is at real quick, in Leviticus, in the Bible, chapter 22 and verse 26, we can actually read about the things that went on throughout this week.
Okay, you want someone to read that?
Oh, well, I mean, we could have somebody read it, or I can start off reading it, because it's going to go from Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 26. We're going to read all the way through Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 24. And then once we complete that reading, we're going to jump into Numbers chapter 29, and we're going to read verses 12 through 16.
Gone. Okay. I got you. So, I guess go ahead. If you want to read,
yeah, I can read first.
Okay.
I can read first. And we're in Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, and from the eighth day and thenceforth, it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be cow or ewe, ye shall not kill it, and her young both in one day. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up, ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Therefore shall ye keep my commandment and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord, which hallow you, that brought ye out of the land of Egypt to be your power, to be your God. I am the Lord. And now, this is just telling us the preparations for the feast day. And now what we're going to get to more of is actually the things that are going on now throughout this feast day. Now I'm in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be the holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and the holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And now that Feast of Unleavened Bread is what we were talking about earlier when we read the scripture about the three times a year that all the men of Israel were supposed to gather together. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is one of those feasts. It is mandatory to gather. Verse 7, in the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day, it is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of harvest unto the priest.
I wanted to go back real quick to mention that in the in verse 7, it says, in the first day ye shall have an holy convocation, meaning a Sabbath.
Right.
So it's letting us know that the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles is indeed a Sabbath. Okay, because it says ye shall do no servile work therein, meaning that that's the indication, that's the characteristic of a Sabbath day. Okay, so on the first day there shall be it's going to be a Sabbath, and since it's 8 days, it says in the eighth verse, it says, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Most High, unto the Lord, 7 days, and in the seventh day is in holy convocation. So that's letting us know with this holy convocation that the Sabbath, there's two Sabbaths. One at the first day, and then and actually this year we ended up doing a double Sabbath because Friday, right, was a Sabbath, Friday night, and then the Feast of Tabernacles started on Saturday night. So it was a double Sabbath at the beginning.
Right.
But it says, but ye shall offer an offering made unto, I'm sorry, an offering made by fire unto the Most High, 7 days, and the seventh day is in holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. So,
that was actually in a passage, if you don't mind me cutting in and correcting real quick. For the tabernacles on the eighth day, actually.
Okay.
If you jump to verse 35 and, are actually verses 34 through 36.
Right.
We're in the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's the same concept. I mean, cut you off, brother. I just wanted to, I didn't want anybody to get thrown off. For the tabernacles, it's on the eighth day.
That's
so
right.
The Holy Convocation before you, verse 36.
God.
We were reading about
the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yeah, we're reading about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a day shorter.
Right.
The tabernacle is actually the eighth day. But it's the same concept. You are right. On the first and last day, specifically what we're honing in on is the Sabbath. Not every single day in between, but like the brother was bringing out, on the first and the last day is of those days, and when it's a week long, or consists of a week long or 8 days or multiple days for a feast, it's the first and last day. What the brothers are bringing out is considered the Sabbath. So the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles that we started on was Saturday the 22nd at sundown. So from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown was a Sabbath. But the weekly Sabbath was also, as the brother was bringing out, was the night before. That's what when he was bringing out the double Sabbath.
Right.
That's just what happened all of this year.
Right.
And it fell right directly after the weekly Sabbath. So it ended up being a double Sabbath. So our normal weekly Sabbath is Friday night, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. But then this year we had that, and also the very next night, Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown. So it's considered a double Sabbath. And this week, the exact same days, we have our weekly Sabbath, which is every week from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. But also the last day of the tabernacle is going to be the very day after, the day following, which will be, again, Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown. As we were just reading in the scriptures, what the brother Gabar was bringing out, is the first and the last day to consider the Sabbath. Which are holy convocations. So I just wanted to help you out with that, brother.
Sorry, throw a lot on that.
I am sorry. But,
Shalom.
Was there anything else you wanted to bring out on that?
No, I just wanted to, you brought it out perfectly.
I'll pick back up where I left off in Leviticus chapter 23, and we were in verse 11. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it, and ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have bought an offering unto your power, your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And ye shall count unto you. What's up?
Oh, no, I was just, you know, just on that. You notice what you just got done reading. It says it shall be a statute or a rule or a law forever throughout your generation. Yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, it's not going to be there. Okay, that's how they used to do it, but they don't do it that way no more.
You know, we have to bring that out. You know, because so much of our people are confused and thinking that the laws have been done away with now that, you know.
Once Christ died, the laws were done away with.
Right.
Now we can eat these abominable foods, and we don't have to worry about it.
Right.
We can now
celebrate Christmas and Thanksgiving and all of that stuff. Whatever we want now, you know, but the scripture clearly states it shall be a statute or a rule or a law forever throughout the generations in all your dwellings. I just wanted to bring that out.
God.
So
no problem. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye bought the sheaf of the waving offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And this is what we were talking about earlier. This is that second time that Israel was supposed to come together, all the males. This is talking about Pentecost.
That's right. And we brought out earlier, in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, this is the second time in that year that we're all supposed to gather together, not just within our communities or wherever you live, but we was all supposed to come to one place. And again, like you said, it's Pentecost. Yeah, wanted to help you out with that a little bit.
Not a problem. It says in verse 17, ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. So once again, we get to see here in the scriptures that these times and these high holy days and these convocations was not just a temporary thing. This was going to be something that was going to be consistent throughout the rest of our lives, our children's lives, our children's children's lives, and so on and so forth. This was not supposed to end for the children of Israel. Verse 22, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the strangers. I am the Lord your God. And now one of the things that was interesting too to me, Ike, is that it was also commanded that, like, when you go and you produce these things from your land, you're not supposed to make it barren.
Right.
It wasn't just supposed to be I'm gonna get everything that I can get for me. You got what you were supposed to get, but now for those people who were lacking, who were cast out, or who were just needed help, you were supposed to leave something so that if they needed, they could actually go through your land and have something to take up to sustain themselves as well.
Fine.
Yeah. And now that go ahead.
I'm sorry, I thought you were done. It's really promoting a spirit of consideration, which we don't see that often nowadays, man. You see people out here in the streets. You see people, once in a great while, somebody will show that consideration, feed the homeless and things like that. But it's interesting that's being brought out in the scriptures here. The way the Most High is telling us to go about things, he's reminding us not to be selfish. That spirit of selfishness, you just want to hoard it all to yourself, every single bit of it. I hear you tell you, don't do that. Leave some for the stranger, for the poor. People wander by that might need a little something, man. Leave some for them. He talks about somebody like the gulps down. Like a gallon of water, you might hear somebody say, "Dang, you come for the dish." that type of thing. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but, dang. Leave some for the poor. Leave some, it's okay, man. Be considerate. Be charitable. Roll with that kind of spirit more so than the selfish, this is all mine. Go get your own. But I just
want
to bring that out.
Oh, brother, trust me. Like I said, I have no problems with it. I'm gonna pick up in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. And ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. And now, these are high holy days that we just came out of recently as well. We just came out of the memorial of the blowing of the trumpets and the day of atonement, because the day of atonement happened right before the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right, the 17th of this month.
This is about a week ago. Yeah.
Well, yeah, about a week ago.
About a week ago now.
Right.
Last week. Yes, sir.
Right. And it says, and on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no and ye shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And now this is what we were talking about. And we talked about this, I think, a little bit when Meshava was up here with us as well. The one thing that I think people think about the Day of Atonement is there's a misconception of, I'm going to go on a diet for a day. You know what I'm saying? And we, Meshava really came and helped us bring out the purpose of this Day of Atonement was really for us to reflect and consider not just how people have wronged us, but now we also have to go back and consider the wrong that we've done to other people.
Right.
And now if I can take up the thought patterns of this is not just like a temporary thing to be like, I'm only going to do it for this one day and I'm going to wild out for the rest of the year, that I have to ingrain this mentality into myself every day of the year. And now when I take that mentality and I do this for the Lord, because this is a commandment and this is one of his convocations, that, after this is over, when I'm coming to see the brothers again on the tabernacles, and we're getting together. Now that I said I forgave, but now the Heavenly Father is still going to put me to the test to see if I'm about what I'm supposed to be about. So I'm about my Father's work and not just doing things for vainglory or just to say that I've done them.
Right.
Did any of you brothers have something I wanted to add?
Yes. It's basically a holy convocation of repentance. That's what the understanding is acknowledgement of the sins that you did the year before, throughout the year, the offenses that you did, not just the offenses you've taken. Right. It's a holy convocation of acknowledgement, acknowledging that you did what you did, you offended who you offended, and to actually really repent sincerely with the mind frame as we go into this next year. Well, not next year. I don't want to say next year, but to continue on not doing the same thing over again or offending people in the same way, that we actually fix it and repent, not do the sins or the offenses that we did in this past year again. To as you said earlier, not to just, well, I'm gonna be good for this one day, for this 24 hours, and then I'm gonna go back to holding a grudge or doing the same offenses again. I'm just gonna wild out for the rest of the year because I've been cleared or forgiven by the Most High for my sins this past year. So I got a clean slate. So let's just go crazy. Let's do like Prince. Let's go crazy. Let's get nuts. You know what I mean? You know, because the Most High has given us this grace and this the spirit of forgiveness. You know, bottom line is this holy convocation is about acknowledging your offenses and your sins. And we're supposed to spend the 24 hours not only on the diet, so to speak, but also reflecting and afflicting our spirits, because it says, and ye shall afflict your spirits, meaning you got to come sincere. You got to feel sorrowful for the offenses that you did. That's how you afflict your spirit during this day. But we don't have a lot of time, so I'm gonna shut it down on that. Armand, do you want to say anything?
I actually do want to add something. Those of you listening, newer ears to this, you might be, just in case, you might be wondering, well, all of these instructions that they're bringing out, why is it that we should take these things seriously? Why should I give up what I'm doing? And why is it so important to start, you know, following these instructions and start doing these things and start taking on the instructions of these high holy days? And, you know, what's the significance? What is the significance of it? Why is it so important? And I wanted to pull out something on that. And I wanted to first go to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. I need somebody to read that for me. We're going to explain what happened, what's been going on, and why it's so important to come back to this way of living. Why is it so important that we do this? You know, we're going to find out. But somebody can read that for me real quick, and I'll break that down.
And
I got you.
I got it for you. You got it, Gabar?
Jarrell's got it. Jarrell's got it. Jaleel, I'm sorry.
Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib.
So we're talking about two animals that don't have the intelligence, or endowed with the intelligence of human beings. That, you know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
But Israel does not know.
So the Most High people, human beings, a group of people don't know. The ox and the ass knows, two just really dumb animals that are used for labor, you know, in the field. You know, these animals don't have, the Most High is making a comparison here.
Right.
Like, you know, we make fun of people sometimes and call them jackass. You know what I mean? Because an ass is not a very smart animal. An ass is a really stubborn animal. You know, but even the ass, it says, he knows where his master's crib is at, but read on.
And it says,
but Israel.
But Israel does not know.
My people, yeah, go ahead.
My people does not consider.
All right, read on.
Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers.
Well, you can just picture the Most High just shaking his head. As we're reading down, you can really picture, like, y'all really, what is wrong with y'all? What have y'all done? Y'all really don't get it, do y'all? And you go back to the end of verse 3, it says, my people do not consider. We don't even stop and think about what we're doing. We don't even stop and think about the fact that we wandered out of the way. We don't even know, we wandered so far away from the Lord, we don't know the way home no more. We don't even know what home is anymore. We think home is America.
Right.
We think home is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we think home is America. America is beautiful. We're trying to be patriots now. You know what I'm saying? We forgot. So what we, and I want to bring something else out here. That was just part of what I wanted to bring out. I wanted to go to Jeremiah chapter 3, and I want to get verse 14. And then I'm going to jump down to 22 after I read 14. Read that real quick.
Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14. And it says, O Jerusalem.
No, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14.
It's a lot, y'all.
No problem. Go ahead.
Jeremiah 3 and 14. It says, turn, O backsliding children.
This is what the Most High is telling us to do, man. Y'all wandered out of the way long enough. Turn, O backsliding children. Go ahead.
Saith the Lord, for I am married unto you.
The Most High looks at us as his wife, you know, as his spouse. He's like, come back home. Where you been? Where you going? Is anything out there doing any good for you, really, as my people, as a nation? And just come back home. Go ahead.
And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just trying to bring y'all back home. Jump down to verse 22 real quick.
Verse 22, it says, return ye backsliding children. And I will heal your backsliding.
This is what the Most High is trying to do. Like, just come back home so I can heal y'all. Haven't y'all had enough? Haven't y'all had enough by now? Haven't y'all had enough just walking in place, not making any progress in the people? These other nations beating y'all down and killing y'all in the street. Black Lives Matter movement. What would the purpose of the Black Lives Matter even be? Where would that come from? Because nobody else gives a damn about it. Authorities are shooting us down in the street. Most guys ask, like, just come back home. Y'all ain't had enough? So this is why we're going over this, because we have wandered so far away from the Lord, we're not even familiar with the high holy days anymore. We're not even familiar with the holy convocations anymore. We don't know our power anymore. We've let people trick us into believing that the Old Testament is done away with, but we don't have to follow none of that no more. So what? So we can go and start celebrating made-up pagan holidays that the nations gave us? What has it done for us? What has Christmas done for us? We're broke half the town came, and, you know what I'm saying? What is Thanksgiving? What is it about? Have you ever even done the history of Thanksgiving? Do you even know what you're celebrating? Like, what are y'all doing, man? Just bring y'all butts back home. Bring y'all butts back home. What are y'all doing? That's why we're going over what we're going on. We're going through these things. In case anybody's wondering, like, what is the importance or significance of anything they're bringing up? The importance and significance of it is we are God's people. We are God's chosen people, and we have wandered out of the way of righteousness. We are so far away from him, we don't even know what we're supposed to be celebrating anymore. This is what we need to come back to. This is what we need to come back to. We need to return and start learning how to serve the Lord again in righteousness, the way He wants us to serve Him. Not the way our enemies are telling us we should serve Him, but go back to the scriptures and go back to the instructions. Go back to the way He, this is how we return to the Lord. We go back to the instructions of the Bible. We go back to the Word of God, and we do it that way. But I just wanted to bring that out because this is important. This is why we're going through these high holy days, why we're going through Leviticus 23rd chapter. It's also mentioned various other places throughout the scriptures what we're supposed to be doing. But this is why we're going over. This is really important and the significance of this because we need to return to our power. These nations are not our power. There's no other way.
God.
I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what I'm saying? We need to return back to our way of our righteous way of living that the Most High intended for us. And this is why we're going over what we're going over.
Like it says in Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16, scripture says, it says, seek ye out of the book in the Lord and read.
Thank you.
So, you know what I'm saying? We have to come back to the Heavenly Father's words. And the only place you're going to ever find the Heavenly Father's word is in this book. You're going to find His law, statutes, and His commandments. And now, once we read, it says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. It says, none of these shall fail. None of these statutes, none of these prophecies that are in this book, none of these commandments that are given to you are going to fail you if you do them. It's not supposed to be just some knowledge that I can spit these things and I know these things. I have to now that I know them, I have to ingrain this in my lifestyle. We use the word culture a lot. This has to be now, because this book of the law, the Bible, is about my culture. It's about who I am, who my people are, according to God's word. This now has to be how I live my life.
Right. That's beautiful. And even with that, we can. I'm not going to go there. Well, I will. I'll read real quick. Joshua 1:8, real quick. I'll just read it. You know, and if you want to expound on it a little bit more, Shalima or Ahmad, that's cool too. But I'm just going to read it real quick because you know we are cut short on time. This always happens. You know, it always happens. But, you know, we want to get out as much edification or understanding on why we do this and why it's so important to that we bring our people together. Joshua 1 and you know what? I'm just going to go to 8. 1 and 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Shalom.
it's self-explanatory, but it's letting us know that it says the words that are supposed to be consistently coming out of our mouth and sharing them with our families and sharing them with fellow Israelites out there is what? The book of God's law.
Right.
How do I now come back and serve God the way that He intended for me to serve Him and not how these churches have taught me to serve Him?
Right.
You know, and now, is there ever supposed to be a time when talking about and discussing these laws is supposed to not happen? No, bro. This is supposed to go on day and night. This is supposed to be a consistent thing.
Right. Everything.
And I'm supposed to think deeply about the words that God has left me. Because if I don't understand His words the correct way, I'll be out there doing all kinds of foolishness and giving myself over to all kinds of nonsense.
And that's all I wanted to bring out, you know. I kind of wish we had that you know, that would have been kind of cool to go with. But, you know, to meditate, to think deeply. And you know, what you say in that goes with the afflicting your souls for the 24 hours. You know what I mean? As far as like the Day of Atonement. That's the meditation. You're supposed to be meditating on the things that you did this past year. But that's all I wanted to bring up.
Well, I want to say this. You got to read on in verse 8 real quick. Watch, read on.
Fine. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein.
So now I'm going to see how I'm supposed to conduct my life and have my life governed. And you know what? Now I'm going to live that way. I can't just see it and be like, okay, I saw it. No, I have to see it, and I have to live it. Read.
It says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Because now when I live my life according to the law, statutes, and commandments of the Heavenly Father, he's let me know, what does he have waiting for me? Prosperity and success.
God.
He has good things waiting for me. If I've ever wondered why does it seem like stuff is always so hard? Am I ever going to get over it? No, because you haven't sat back and gotten to this book like you're supposed to. And now I'll say this. If you have started to get into the book, you're going off of your own understanding and not getting the true understanding of the Heavenly Father. And that's what the scriptures talk about. You have to submit yourself to tutors and governors, people who are supposed to teach you now how to come and worship and serve the Heavenly Father the correct way. And this is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to say it. It's sad, because our people are so stubborn and so pigheaded that we'll see the benefits and won't follow. But in the Bible, there's a story about, I think it's the land of Goshen, where our people got moved out and they moved Africans in. And the lions, I mean, it might not be Goshen, but I know the Africans got moved in, and
the most
lions to kill them.
Actually, it was Samaria. It was Samaria, and it was when King Hoshea.
Yes.
Right, and Nebuchadnezzar, he replaced.
But when we
went into captivity.
And God did not choose and killing because they were not supposed to win.
You're fading out a little bit, Ot.
Like his people supposed to do, he'll stop killing us. And he did.
Right. Right. Right, you're talking about when the lions were eating people that had been put in our place to replace us, and they didn't know the laws, they didn't know how to serve the Most High. So some priests were brought in. Levi was brought in to show them how to serve the Most High, and he did indeed. Stop the lions from devouring them. That's right. I know what you're talking
about. And I'm sorry I'm referencing it incorrectly, but it just goes to show how God's people are supposed to have that love for him. And he shows us many times in the Bible through the things that he does, how he will take care of us. And we still don't get it. Or we still choose to lean on our own understanding. But that's all I want to say. That I want to get back into Leviticus real quick, because I know we have about 18 minutes left.
We got a few minutes.
I mean, it always happens, but
as long as our people get the as much understanding as possible,
Now that is truly what it's about. I'm going to go back to Leviticus chapter 23, and I'm going to pick up in verse 29. It says, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in the same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your soul in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything upon his day, besides the Sabbath of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the bought of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and broths of thick trees, and willows of brooks. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in both 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in boats. That your generations, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths.
Right.
When I bought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God, and Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord.
Time. Just so that we get the understanding on the booths.
Yes.
The booths is speaking about tents.
Yes, sir.
Is saying that we are to dwell in tents, because back when
dwell
we were
in tents.
Right. Time.
So, you know, we're in transition at this time. This is something the Most High wants us to remember. Is you didn't have your little houses with the ceilings, with the roofs. You know what I'm saying? You were still in transition at this time. But what you dwelled in during that time of transition, you dwelled in booths. This is something that the Most High wants us to remember, our humble beginnings. Like, you know, before you go back in that night, house with the roof and the ceiling and the yard that you got and all the solid foundation, remember where you came from. Don't forget the humble beginning. Don't forget how, you know, we progressed from there. You wasn't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
We remember these times that we went through to get to the place we got to, and eventually we were blessed with more. But yeah,
right. Yeah, and also I want to go back up to 40 where it says, "And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook." And these are all goodly things. These are all things that we rejoice over. And basically, what it's saying is to enjoy each other's company throughout this whole week. It says, "And ye shall rejoice before the Lord, your power, or your God, 7 days." The entire week, we are supposed to be enjoying each other.
Right.
Letting bygones be bygones, whatever offenses. Holding no grudges. there's no holding grudges mentioned in the definition of rejoice. We're supposed to be having a great time, for lack of a more animated word or spiritual word, you know?
Yeah, not even a week before the beginning of the tabernacle. You think about it, we just came out of the Day of Atonement. That's the time we're supposed to let everything go. We're supposed to be about forgiveness so that the Lord will do the same thing for us. We afflict our souls and we ask Him for forgiveness. But we're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to let all them grudges go. So right after that, now we enjoy each other and, you know, let bygones be bygones, like you said.
Right.
You know, water under the bridge, whatever. Now it's time to, now that we've gotten that out of the way, it's time to enjoy each other.
Right.
And that's what we're doing for this week. Again, we're in the fourth day of that week of our Feast of Tabernacles. We're celebrating it and as we speak.
Right.
But go ahead.
And this is something else that, everyone listening, I want them to take into mind is that when this holy convocation is over, we have to go back and do and serve and deal with the crap. You know what I mean? This is our rest. So we should be taking advantage, like the scripture says. I'm not going to go to it, but
right.
It says to seize the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity to clear everything up, to build our strength, because that's what we're doing in these 7 days also. We're building our strength because we got to go back out into this battle.
Yeah.
You know, we're resting.
We're pressured and, you know,
right.
We're charging our batteries back up.
Right. So that we can get back out here and battle. And you know, we have to battle through.
There's some more battling in this world.
Right, to gather our people, for one.
Right.
And just to get through, just to work out our own salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's all I wanted to say on that. What's the next reading? We can get in.
If somebody could read, because it still deals with the Feast of Tabernacles. If we go to Numbers chapter 29. And what is going to break down in Numbers 29, chapter 12 through 16, it's going to break down every day what we were supposed to give as an offering to the Lord.
Numbers chapter 29, verse 12. And on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And ye shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord, 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year. They shall be without blemish, and of their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. 3/10 yield unto every bullock of the 13th bullock. 2/10 deal to each ram of the 2 rams, and a several tenth deal to each lamb of the 14 lambs, and 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering, and his drink offering. And on the 2nd day, we shall offer 12 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot, and their meat offering, and their drink offering for the bullock, for the ram, and for the lamb, shall be according to their number, after the manner. And 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and the meat offering thereof, and the drink offering.
And now, I just wanted to throw it up real quick. And now, look at the offerings that are going on. Even in the first day, there was like, 13 lambs? Look at the number of sacrifices, and it's not to take away from it, but even in this holy convocation, if everybody that is in Israel is coming together and giving these offerings to the Heavenly Father, how much work are we still continuing to put in to please the Father? And brother, this was just an example of how much work it is every day to put in to continue to please the Father. You're saying I don't think we take account of that, because if we were just dealing with just the men, and it was like over a million men, how many sacrifices are going on consistently? This starts from sun up to sundown, but that's the mind frame we're supposed to have to learning and learning how to please and follow the Most High. From the time I wake up in the morning, that's what my day is focused on. From the time until the time I go to sleep at night, how can I better serve the Most High? And then, how can I work on my relationship with my brothers? If I've offended, how can I mend that offense? Because there are a lot of our people out here who still need the Heavenly Father to get their lives straight and to guide them.
Right.
And if we're not willing to put in that work, how many people are going to suffer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the consideration. I'm going to go back to the word that Imad used, the consideration. The consideration. To consider someone besides yourself. To sacrifice. And with that sacrifice, you're actually considering someone else, the next brother, or the brothers around you, the families that are around your family. That's what this is all about. The sacrifice. Well, meaning it's not about you as individuals, because the Most High doesn't work with individuals. But what he wants to see is what will you do for your fellow brother? What will you do for your sister? What will you do for someone else? How much will you put forth? How much work will you put in? Not for your benefit, but for someone else's benefit, another Israelite's benefit, the family. Consideration. So this is about acknowledging, meditating, repenting, and consideration. Consideration for our fellow Israelites, our fellow brethren, and not for ourselves.
Right. If I could get something on that real quick. Again, you bring out an excellent point about us having more considerate minds, not being so selfish and cutthroat, and every man for himself. Because that's what the world has taught us. That's what our enemies have taught us. I'm going to grab Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. And who wants to read that real quick, just on what you're saying?
Todd, I got it. Philippians 2 and 3. All right, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, and it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory.
Yeah, this is scrapping the scriptures for yours. Somebody get in the way, do what you guys do, get them out of the way, because then you're trying to get yours. Is there just a bunch of selfishness and just gathering for yourself?
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, and also I just want to add real quick, the vainglory is the pat on the back. You're doing it for a pat on the back. Oh, well, that's a good brother right there.
To get the approval of another man or whatever.
Right. That's what the vainglory is talking about. It says, but in lowliness of mind.
Yeah, bring yourself down. Get yourself down off that dang pedestal you keep trying to put yourself up on. You were worried about your image, worried about how other people look at you. Go ahead.
But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
There's that consideration we're supposed to be operating with as a nation, that mindset we're supposed to have. And this is what's going to bring about that kingdom that the Most High is trying to lead us to, that righteousness. way of living. You don't, you know, this stuff isn't happening today. You know, people don't think like that today. It's every man for himself today. Love shall wax cold. All right? So go ahead and read verse 4.
Verse 4, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own things.
Just worried about yourself. Just worried about it. Well, that's him. I'm going to worry about me. I'm going to let him worry about him. I, you know, that's his kid. They want to play in the street and get run over. That ain't my kid. That's his kid. You know what I mean? But we're supposed to be looking out for each other. You see somebody else. You see your neighbor's kids playing in the dang street. And you're the one that sees it, you know what I'm saying? You should take some type of responsibility and some type of consideration even for your neighbor's kids.
Right. Instead of saying, well, they ain't my kids.
Yeah.
Even Ice Cube in the Boys in the Hood, he was like, and get them babies off the street. Remember?
Yeah, babies. But, yeah, just worried about you. And it's entertaining to watch somebody else's stuff fall apart as long as it ain't your kids, as long as it ain't your property. You just worried about you, and you don't care what happens to your brother and his family or his belongings, or that danger might be coming his way. Well, that's him. You know, he should stay on top of his stuff like I stay on top of mine. That mentality, we got to get rid of that selfishness. And be considerate of one another. But verse 5, this is kind of wraps it up.
Right. It says, let this mind be in you.
This mindset, right. This mentality, this way of thinking. That's what they're saying. Let this mind be in you. That, not that mind of every man for himself, selfishness, just not worried about nobody but yourself. Well, that's him. That's him. That's not our problem. We got our own problem. You get that crap. You know, that's what our enemy taught us. We need to get that mess out of our head, and we need to renew our mind in Christ. I said, let this mind be in you. Go ahead.
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Which was also in Yahweh Shai. This is the way he thought. We need to be taking on this type of mindset. This way of thinking, we bit off, but that's it.
Go ahead and get a few more.
I mean, you can read a little bit more
On down, that's fine. Verse 6. Since who being in the
In Numbers.
Oh, we were still reading in Numbers.
Right.
That 29, what verse did we leave off?
I think we were in like 13. No, we were 14, I believe.
We were down further. I think we were on like the third or fourth day. And we left off around 17.
Oh, yeah, no, we're in verse 19.
19? Okay, go ahead.
Numbers chapter 29, verse 19. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and the meat offering thereof, and their drink offering. And on the third day, 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offering and their drink offering for the bullock, for the ram, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And one goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and his meat offering, and his drink offering. And on the fourth day, 10 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without blemish. Their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullock, for the ram, and for the lamb shall be according to their number after the manner. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the fifth day, 9 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without spot, and their meat and their drink offering for the bullock, for the ram.
I just want to stop it real quick. I can say, look at how much we were continuing to bring to the Most High in servitude. you notice it was a continual burnt offering. It wasn't just a one-time thing. This was continual. This is consistent, just like we have to be. We have to be consistent in our servitude of the Heavenly Father. And then in our servitude to our fellow brothers and sisters out there, we have to be consistent. You know what I'm saying? Now I know things are going to happen. The Bible tells us, but it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But now, even though I'm offended, and I have offended, am I willing to put in the work that the Heavenly Father requires to have His will be done? You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to keep it going because I know that it's just going to go throughout the whole week. But you're going to see the consistent dedication that Israel had in this gathering when we all came together to continually appease the Most High.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at the time. I'm probably sure we overtalked these little like 60 seconds.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I don't want to get it going too long. I know that we all have stuff that we got to get up and start doing today as well. But I,
right.
I really enjoyed coming back to being able to share and edify the scriptures with all of our brothers out there and our sisters that we haven't had the chance to reconnect and touch with in a while.
This is awesome. I feel really good. It's good to get back in the swing, and then also with it being the Feast of Tabernacles also, you know, this is great, and this is I feel right. This is what we're supposed to be doing anyway. What we're supposed to be doing.
And I'm gonna throw this back in there. This is something that we're supposed to be doing every day, not just for the high holy days.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's a check to myself too. Because sometimes I know I get caught up in a lot of other stuff, but my focus every day should be on making sure that I work on that work that the Most High requires of me with my brothers and my sisters.
Ahmad, you want to say something?
Before
we shut it down.
The point you brought out on that word continual in Numbers 29 and 19. Yeah, we, you know, let's keep it moving. Let's, you know, the scriptures also say he, you know, still doing it when the Lord returns. We ain't supposed to stop at any point. This is supposed to be continual. So, you know, we did have, you know, things coming. You know, we do have distractions here and there and things that kind of pull us off the. That's not a reason for us to stop completely in this work and our servitude toward the Lord. Like you were bringing out just a minute ago, Shalom, we continue. We move on. We push forward. We continue. You know, we don't become stagnant. We continue in this work. You know, it's something, you know, we do run into challenges in our lives, you know, and distractions and things that are missed. To stop us, but we get right back up and we keep going, we continue. You know what I mean? Just man fall seven times and rise back up. But that's it. I'm glad you brought that out. We continue in this. We stay consistent.
I do believe that tomorrow is Thursday, and I'm not sure if the brothers are going to be able to do their class tonight because we did one this morning. I hope they are. But
they are planning to gather at the school tonight, from what I was told by Brother Charles Powell and a few others. They are gathering tonight at the school and for fellowship. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some teaching going on, but. There's going to be fellowship at school here in San Antonio tonight.
Do you know if they're going to do it on Blog Talk as well?
I'm not sure of that. If they're planning to do that, I don't think there wasn't a mention of that, but perhaps we could. we could run that by, you know, some of the elders. If that's what they want to do.
I don't think they're going to be doing the blog. I don't think it's twice.
Yeah, and I think you can only do one show a day.
Yeah, so we did our blog for today. So yeah, you're right.
Okay. Well, then I look forward to continuing to coming back and doing some more edification and getting into some more Bible basics with y'all tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to keep it consistent.
Right.
I know that we've set up for the feast up here. I already sent out the text to the brothers and let them know that it's going to be in my house this Sabbath, this Friday. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to continue to rehearse the righteous acts. And then understand that if we're found faithful over these few things, the Most High can make us rulers over much.
That's beautiful. I don't have anything else on Jalil.
Anything at all?
Yeah, if I could, I'm gonna pull one scripture. It's Colossians chapter 2. In verse 8, and then we're going to skip down to 20. So it says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So it's basically telling us, you know, take caution, proceed with caution in our work, staying away from the mindset, being cautious of the mindset that follows with operating in the world, but not with the world. And then jumping down to verse 20, it says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," the rudiments is the principles, is the way of life of the world, you know. So it's
How society thinks.
So it's, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, while you're living in the world, you're subject to ordinances." So living as a part of the mindset of the world, operating with the mindset of the world, we're subject to the ordinances. The ordinances, another word for that is laws. And the definition of laws is a lifestyle. Like, there's one definition. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. It's a mindset. It's a way of operating. It's the principles of operating. But it says, "Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men." So a lot of people are still curious as to why they can't follow the world, why they should change, why they should follow what the Most High wants. But looking at it, when we fall off as a people, it's like if you take like a drug, it has side effects. But we fell off as a people and decided to follow the world's way of doing things. Therefore, with that comes side effects of, you know, depression, selfishness, all these other things that weigh down on a person. So going back to the way the Most High wanted us to live, that in itself is our cure. It's our life source. That's all I wanted to say.
That's beautiful, Otter.
Water.
Yeah.
But anything else before we wrap it up, I guess? The end notes of the way we typically end it.
Hey,
remind them of the last time, San Antonio, the YouTube. ICPK YouTube channel. The brothers out in Houston, they do a beautiful job with that. Subscribe to that YouTube channel, which is ISBHPK Live. I don't know if it's the word live, is it? But if you type in ISBHPK on YouTube, you can subscribe to their channel, and you can check those brothers out. They do a phenomenal job there in Houston.
Getting this word out. Phenomenal.
Yeah, really. That's the only thing I can think of. I've watched those.
I feel amazing in there. Amazing.
It's amazing. I've watched those classes and it's like, wow. You know, you want to show somebody else, man, you got to come watch this with me.
Right.
It's like a good movie just came out. Oh, man, you got to see that.
Yes.
But
we know by watching them that the Most High is working with them.
That's right. That's right.
With that, I mean, I'm done. Shalma?
I've got nothing to add. So with that, I'm Shalma.
Shalom. of the Barkawa.
Hi, Mod.
And Jamil.
And we'll be reaching back out to the brothers and sisters in Blogs at Radio Land tomorrow, same time, 9 o'clock, to, I want to say, about 10:30. With that being said,
that's 9 o'clock New Mexico time.
Yes.
And 10 o'clock Texas time, which is central time for y'all listening in different regions. In California on the West Coast, that would be 8 o'clock. If you're on the East Coast, that would be 11 o'clock.
Right.
But, 9 o'clock Mountain Time again, and 10 o'clock Texas or Central Time tomorrow. Rejoin us, please. Be happy to have you rejoin us.
Okay.
That,
Shalom.
Shalom.
Everybody on.